Morning World. This is Tom Harris in Chicago, Illinois. Welcome to Tom Harris Live. Today is November the 27th of 2010. If you are listening at 4 p.m. UK time on November the 27th, then you are listening live. If you're not listening at that time, then you're listening to a pre-recorded show, but you can still participate. If you would like to participate, you can send an email or a voice file or anything else to tom@unitedkingdomradio.co.uk. Or alternatively, you can send that to tom@tomharrisusa.com. So, hello everybody, and welcome to the program. And you'll notice that my voice is starting to sound a little bit better, folks. Yes, it is. It's almost sounding normal now. Still a little bit nasally, but, you know, that's the time of year. So I've just come off of a 10-day course of antibiotics. I know, exciting, right? Very, very thrilling. I've been unable to have any alcohol or anything like that. It's just been terrible. No, not really. No, it hasn't been that bad. And indeed, I am feeling a lot better now than I was prior to that. So hopefully things will continue to improve. Had a little bit of a setback this week because of the hard partying that I've been doing on this Thanksgiving Day weekend. 4-day weekend for me this week. And I'll talk a bit more about that coming up. And that is a very exciting tale. Coming up in the show, I will have the usual features. I will have a voiced file from Scott, from the Scott Podcast, one of the listeners who's been with us since the very beginning. And he's going to talk a little bit about a topic I talked about in a previous show. And I do apologize that I've been holding on to it for a while, but I do need the help today. It's been a crazy, crazy week. Well, first of all, winter has arrived here, folks. This is now, we're now in our Chicago winter. Hasn't snowed yet, other than a few flakes here and there. But it's dreadfully cold right now. And of course, the weather right now is just, it's frosty, and it's winter coat weather. Been out and about over the last couple of days a little bit, and enjoyed it, you know, having nice time out. And my best friend and his wife came to Chicago for the Thanksgiving holiday. Well, they weren't in Chicago itself. They went to, it's a long story. But basically, my best friend Paul from Finland, as we often refer to him on the show, had his 50th birthday a couple of days ago. And yeah, half a century, he is old now. He is officially old, way much older than me. Well, I'm a couple years behind, but you know how that goes. But anyway, to celebrate Paul's 50th birthday, he and his wife decided that they were going to go to Hawaii. So they went to Hawaii and spent a week, I think it was something like 8 days or so that they spent in Hawaii. And they were there for that amount of time, and they had a fantastic time there. They showed me the pictures. It was really, really nice. And then they came here to Illinois, to Rockford, to Paul's sister's place for Thanksgiving. And then, after Thanksgiving, they came to Chicago for a day, and that was yesterday. The Black Friday. Now, I don't know if people in the UK are all that familiar with Black Friday, but the day after Thanksgiving here in the States is the biggest shopping day of the year, or at least one of the biggest shopping days of the year. And it's really sort of the kickoff of the Christmas buying season. And of course, a lot of the stores and things have sales going on right now. So that's all very exciting. And anyway, they were here, and they were doing lots and lots of shopping in downtown Chicago in the Magnificent Mile. And it's called the Magnificent Mile because, I don't know. But anyway, the Magnificent Mile is our main shopping district here in Chicago. A lot of gorgeous architecture, a lot going on there, and especially on Black Friday when you have all these crowds and crowds of people. And you really haven't seen anything like it unless you've been out in, you know, major city center during Black Friday. So went downtown yesterday. Pete and I went down and spent some time there with Paul and Mari, and had a nice time with his head. Pete wasn't feeling well, so he went home a little bit early. which was unfortunate. But anyway, it was still a good time, and it's nice to see my best friend and his wife, and because I don't see them that often. I guess they are coming to the States now, every year or two, to see Paul's sister. So anyway, that's neither here nor there. But winter is here, and with that comes the beard. Yes, the beard is back, folks. The beard is back. Oscar would be very happy to know. I've started growing out my beard for the winter again. Just trimmed it up a little bit the other day because it was looking a little bit raggedy. But I've talked about this in the past. When the winter gets cold, I grow my beard very long. Not very long. It's not like Santa Claus long. But it's still, a lot more than it is during the summer. During the summer, I can keep it quite shortly cropped. And so it's quarter of an inch long, sort of. And right now it's getting to be, about an inch and a half long, or maybe almost 2 inches long. It's getting bushier, but it is the season. And it is one of those things that I do every year. And I wouldn't say I look forward to it, but anyway. If you'd like to contribute to the show, please, please, please feel free to do so. I don't have any really set topics today. It's been one of those weeks. But if you want to phone the show, if you're in the UK, you can call the show at 020-3287-1488. Or indeed, you can Skype in at United Kingdom Radio, and we can chat about whatever you want, because it's kind of a free-form program today. I do have the usual features, of course, and we'll get to one of those in just a moment. But because I have had such a crazy busy week, I haven't really been able to come up with any real good topics. So it has been kind of crazy. We had to do – when I was at work at the beginning of the week, I worked Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And, of course, Thursday was Thanksgiving, so nobody works Thanksgiving. And Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we basically had to complete all of the work for the week. So we could take, so we wouldn't have to come in on Friday. They wanted us to come in on Friday, believe it or not, they did. But we managed to talk the bosses into allowing us not to come in on Friday and have this nice 4-day weekend, of which this is day 3. So I feel like this is Monday morning, and I'm kind of cheating a little bit. Anyhow, any feedback or a call, anything would be very much appreciated. Even just a little note to let me know that I'm actually going out, because I'm not actually sure at this point whether I'm even going out on the air, because things are very, very quiet on the Skype. So if anybody has anything to say, they can please feel free to phone in. All right, so I'm going to move on, and we're going to do something a little bit different now, is that we're going to do Chris Reardon Has Decreed.
Chris Reardon!
I love it!
And we love it too. So as you know, every week I go and I scour Chris's old shows to find things that Chris Reardon has decreed. Sometimes they're silly, sometimes they're not quite as silly. And this is what Chris Reardon has decreed for this week.
Any money that you saved, you must send in 25% of it. No, that's greedy. 25% is greedy. You must send in £161. Money in my pocket, boys and girls. Ding!
So that was Chris Reardon has decreed for this week. Be sure to send your £161 to tom@tomharrisusa.com. And I got a couple sound effects now, because, going through these old Chris Reardon shows and listening to his various shows, I do come up with some very, very interesting clips, such as...
Now, I'm going to have to take my trousers down and blow bubbles out of my bottom.
But recently I've started noticing that Chris builds sound effects into his show. For example,
gling!
And also,
beep, 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 beep. Bling! Beep, 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 beep. Beep, 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 bling. Beep.
It's all very exciting, folks. Anyway, it's probably obnoxious, isn't it? Anyhow, that was Chris Rudin Has Decreed for this week. And I tell you about my my Thanksgiving holiday after I do a little bit. You know, I'll talk about Thanksgiving first, because, you know, that's not a holiday that I gather that you all have over in the UK. And here it's a kind of a celebration here of when the first settlers came to the New World. And they weren't sure whether they'd be able to survive. They didn't know about this and that. And they set up their very early settlement in Plymouth, Massachusetts. And these were Puritans who kind of fled England when the British government decided they weren't going to persecute Catholics anymore. And the Puritans had to come to America so they would have their freedom to persecute Catholics and other people. And they settled in, you know, sort of area Massachusetts. And, you know, this was the holiday that the sort of where they give thanks for surviving that the journey overseas and the first year that they were here in the States. So the Thanksgiving holiday is sort of a, you know, civic holiday here, sort of a like a bank holiday. Bob, I don't know. Oh, Bob, I don't know, is saying, can we pretend you forgot to hit record and please start the show again as I was fighting with my son? Sorry, Bob. That's what the podcast is for. We also have a message here from Wayne. Wayne is asking, hi, Tom, just listening in. I was going to ask if you thought about having some frozen custard to help soothe that voice. I believe that there's a special shop where it all started in Chicago. I had some recently in St. Louis, Missouri, when I had a trip there. Yeah, we have a frozen custard place near where I work, actually. There's two of them up there. But there's the one, I think it's sort of the original one, somewhere in the Chicagoland area. Yeah, very, very regional delicacy, that frozen custard. Just fantastic stuff. But frankly, Wayne, I don't need the weight. I don't need to be eating frozen custard. Ah, the calories alone. And, you know, I look at frozen custard and I gain 5 pounds. That's how bad it really is. But anyway, I was saying, it's like a bank holiday here, Thanksgiving. And normally in the United States, you know, the normal sort of stereotypical view of Thanksgiving is that people will, you know, cook a big meal. They have turkey and stuffing and cranberry sauce, and, you know, they invite their families and their friends, and they have these huge feasts. Then they watch football and pass out in a coma. And that's sort of the traditional Thanksgiving thing. Now, I don't really do holidays. I've talked about that on the show. And Thanksgiving is really kind of no exception. I live by myself. My significant other is home with his family. And just sort of, it's just another day for me. And I spent my my Thanksgiving day doing wonderful things like doing laundry. And I was going to make jambalaya because I often do that for Thanksgiving. And so I started doing my preparations for jambalaya. And I realized, okay, in order to make this, I'm going to have to wash the dishes. Because I had dishes piled in the sink. Bob I Don't Know says, we could celebrate Thanksgiving, thanking that we got rid of lots of folks with no fun. Oh, I tend to agree with you, Bob. I really do. And Chris is saying, Christmas is asking if, or Christmas, yes, I'm going to call and start calling Christmas. Christmas Reardon is asking me now, is it more important than Christmas to you all? I wouldn't say that. But it is sort of the biggest food-related holiday that we have. But anyway, I started to wash the dishes to prepare my jambalaya. I had to get rid of all the dirty dishes in the sink. And the sink was blocked. It's never happened in this apartment before. It's happened to me in other places before. And I realized that, you know, this was a pretty, pretty nasty clog. The sink wasn't draining at all. So I got out the plunger. I have a sink plunger. I should say I had a sink plunger. And I started working on the kitchen sink. Now, keep in mind, the kitchen sink has about 6 inches worth of hot water in it because I'm just starting to wash dishes. And start plunging the sink. And these billows of black, nasty, smelly gook come up out of the sink. Just dreadful. It's like something out of a horror movie. Just horrible, horrible black gook coming out of the sink. And the sink was burbling a little bit, but it wasn't draining. It was just sort of stirring it up. And I decided, okay, well, I'll keep plunging, see if I can actually accomplish anything. So I was kind of plunging on the sink, and trying to clear this blockage. And then the plunger broke. Don't really know exactly. I think it was just a cheap plunger to begin with. I think I probably got it at the dollar store. It'd be like Poundland for you folks in the UK, you know, really cheap junk that you get for cheap. Cheap plunger is cheap. But anyway, I managed to really, really get this turn this 6 inches of fairly clean water in the sink into this 6 inches of really nasty, rank, black water. Blah. Blah, as Chris would say. Blah. And so I decided, well, I have to do something about this. Now, it's Thanksgiving Day, about 4 in the afternoon, a little bit later than that, actually. And so I had to go and try to find some drain opener, some Drano. So I did kind of run around at this, the supermarket, the little market near me was closed. The dollar store was closed. The Family Dollar, which is a different store, they were closed. So finally, I went to the Citco gas station. They had a little convenience store. I figured they'd be open. Of all the places in town, they'd be open. And they were. And thankfully, they had some Drano. So I got that, brought it home. I know, this is a really exciting story, isn't it? The exciting part has yet to come. And I poured in the about half the bottle, which is you're supposed to pour in about half the bottle. Wait 15 minutes. If it doesn't drain, then they recommend that you add the rest of the bottle. So I didn't. Yeah, I just poured it in, let it sit, and nothing was happening. It wasn't really doing anything. So I decided, okay, well, before I pour in the rest of this bottle, I'm going to just kind of take the rubber part of the plunger and just kind of bang on the pipe a little bit, just to see if, just kind of loosen. You've seen people do that, right? You get kind of a clog and you kind of just bang on the pipe lightly, not hard. And then sometimes that'll loosen up the plug if it's not too bad, and it'll go through. So I took out the rubber part of the plunger, and I just gave it a couple light taps on the pipe. Well, guess what happened then? Yes, you're right. The pipe burst. Big hole opened up in the pipe. There's Drano-infused water spraying all over the inside of my kitchen cabinet. Now, I thought quickly and jumped up because, I mean, this is, this has acid in it, basically. It's a lye, or I think it's alkaline, actually. It's a lye. And it's diluted, of course. But the pipe burst, and I had all this filthy water spilling out into my kitchen, all over the kitchen floor. I was able to avoid getting it even on me, thankfully. And it's not just dirty water. It's dirty water with drain opener in it. So it's not very good at all. So what a disaster. Just it's horrible. And it's just the smell was just is terrible. So needless to say, I had a bit of a problem. I called up the maintenance people here at the apartment complex. Now, normally they're pretty good. But being Thanksgiving Day, I wasn't really sure if they would be able to come out and do anything about it. I did manage to get a hold of the maintenance guy, Samir. He's this Russian guy. He's got probably 350 pounds, just huge, giant, maintenance guy. And he actually took some time out to come to my apartment and replace the broken pipe. But the problem that we had at that point, of course, was that the pipe was still clogged. The blockage was still there. And he told me to, you know, pour the rest of the Drano in there, which I did. And about 3 hours later, the sink started to drain again. But we do still need to get the plumber in. And the plumber's going to come in on Monday, I think, while I'm at work. And they're going to come in and they're going to have to do a really thorough cleaning out of the pipe. But anyway, it was really, really miserable, I have to say. I was not able to cook anything. I was not able to use the sink. So my Thanksgiving dinner basically consisted of a few crackers and an apple. So that was Thanksgiving for me. Anyway, that was my exciting Thanksgiving story. But, you know, as I always say, you know, when things go awry, it gives me material to play on the show. So, you know, that's all very exciting. So anyway, I'm going to take a really quick break here, and I'll be right back. And you can listen to this very important message from Suco.
Hi, it's Suco. I tried to be more political and edgy. Doesn't seem to work. So it's back to simply being United Kingdom Radio Sex Goddess. Join me live Sundays at 5 p.m. UK time, 12 noon New York time, for some random chat with a little sensuality thrown in. I can't help it.
Bling! Beep, 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 bling! And welcome back to the show, and that was the lovely Suco. And she'll be on tomorrow here at United Kingdom Radio at 5 p.m. UK time. Fagash Lil is saying, we could celebrate Thanksgiving, thanking that we... Oh, wait, I read that already. No, think with Carl Childers and the fat girl from the dollar store. I don't know what you're talking about. Quite frankly, Lil, I don't know what you're talking about. And is this some ploy to get invited somewhere next year, Tom? You are quite welcome to come to my... Oh, well, thank you very much, sweetie. I would love to, but I don't know if I'll be able to. I am trying to... You know, I've been talking about this a lot on the show, that I am actually thinking about trying to make another trip over to the UK, possibly next summer. But it really depends on so many things. It depends on finances mostly, and my job situation, and all of that. So, but I do hope sometime to be able to come back. So that was my exciting Thanksgiving story. Now, the cleaning up of all this mess took a good part of the day, and I have to say that, you know, my kitchen was looking much, much cleaner than it was when I first started doing started cooking the jambalaya. But I might actually do the jambalaya tonight, because the sink, even though it's not completely fixed yet, is actually draining, and I should be able to do dishes at least, and that'll clear up counter space, and I'll be able to do... I don't do dishes that often, folks, and I know that it's terrible of me, but I am one of those people that will leave dishes in the sink for a long period of time. And but the fact of the matter is, I don't use that many dishes. So, you know, 6 months worth of dishes is, you know, three plates. You know, it's not that many. When you use the same plates, and you wash the same plate over and over again, and that's kind of how I am, and or using aluminum foil to cook. I don't know if that's as common in the UK. I don't know, but if anybody uses aluminum foil to cook, that would be interesting to hear about. Well, not really, but, you know, I need the calls. So if anybody would like to phone in, you can Skype in at United Kingdom Radio, or you can indeed, you can telephone us if you're in the UK at 020-3287-1488. And that is a local London area number. Okay, so moving on, we are going to move on to, ta-ta-da, Today in History. November 27th in history, we have, in 1582, William Shakespeare married his wife, Anne Hathaway. So, happy anniversary to William Shakespeare. In 1817, United States soldiers attacked a Florida Indian village, beginning the Seminole War. In my opinion, a very shameful time in American history. It would be Andrew Jackson and his lust for land, driving the Indians out of the U.S. South. In 1826, John Walker invented the friction match. In 1895, the Nobel Prize was established by Alfred Nobel and is still given out to this day. In 1911, the first documented evidence in the United States of an audience throwing vegetables at actors. You know, I've always... This is something you see a lot in, like, old silent films. Like Three Stooges or The Little Rascal. You know, the sort of the classic old-time black and white films, whether they're silent films or talkies or whatever. And you have a musical act or actors that are really bad and, you know, people throw tomatoes at them and stuff. And this is kind of a comedy staple in these old films. And I've often wondered if that actually ever really happened. But apparently it did in 1911 on the Today in History. In 1962, the first test flight of the brand new airplane, the Boeing 727, took place. And believe it or not, those 727s are still flying today. I don't know if not this, maybe literally the same planes. Probably not. But they're still using the 727 today. In 1967, the Beatles released their album, Magical Mystery Tour. And has anybody ever seen that film, the Magical Mystery Tour movie that they did? I think it was a TV special, and I have it on VHS somewhere. And all I remember is how really, really boring it was. In 1973, the United States Senate voted 92-3 to confirm Gerald R. Ford as Vice President of the United States. He was appointed Vice President following the resignation of Vice President Spiro Agnew, who had been indicted on tax evasion charges. And one last bit of political history here. In 1990... Britain's Conservative Party chose John Major to succeed Margaret Thatcher, and he became the Prime Minister of England. And birthdays today, November 27th, include Buffalo Bob Smith, the TV host here in the States of the TV show Howdy Doody. He was born in 1917. In 1925, Ernie Wise of More Cayman Wise over in the UK. 1940, Bruce Lee, the martial artist, who was best known for playing the Green Hornet here in the States. 1942, Jimi Hendrix was born, the rock guitarist of great legend. 1944, country singer Eddie Rabbit was born. 1955, Bill Nye, the science guy, TV host here in the States. And in 1957, Caroline Kennedy Schlossberg was born. She was the older child of John F. Kennedy, the President of the United States, and his wife, Jackie. And that was Today in History. All right. So if anybody has anything they'd like to talk about, now's the time to call, 020-328-7188, or you can Skype in at United Kingdom Radio. So that was my exciting weekend. And I'm going to go ahead and play, since it doesn't look like anybody is keen to call in at the moment. That's fine. But I do have here an audio comment, and this was sent in by a listener of ours, Scott Mitchell. Now, Scott does his own podcast. It's called the Uncommon Sense Podcast. And Scott has been a member of the podcast family here from the very, very beginning. He was the very first caller I had on the show. But as you'll hear in the clip, Scott has not been able to phone into the show or indeed listen live. But he'd still like to participate. So if you folks remember a few weeks ago, I did a show and the subject of the show was jobs. Best jobs, worst jobs. And Scott sent us in a comment on that. So here it is.
Okay, Tom, maybe you'll allow me to be a part of your show in a virtual sense, because I can't make it to the show because I'm working on Saturdays. Your topic questions were about jobs. What was my first job? Did I have a paper route? Yes, I did. And I guess you could qualify that as a first job. Although, even before that, I sold Christmas cards and made a little money that way. So was that a job? I don't know. What about an allowance? Does that count? But I think you mean actually working for a company, and paper route's kind of working for a company. And yeah, I did that in my hometown for a few years. And the biggest thing I remember buying were two things, actually. My first tape recorder, which got me into the hobby of tape corresponding. And I got a CB radio, which got me into the radio hobby, ultimately ham radio. So it did pay for a couple of firsts for me. Back in those days, my father was able to support a family of five on just what he earned. And this is something I talk about on my podcast, the value of labor going down dramatically over the years. So I guess my first job was a paper route. I also worked at some stores, and I don't remember what the order of all this would be, but I worked at the Giant store doing whatever work they'd have me do. I remember doing inventory handling, taking care of and organizing the layaway room and things like that. Don't remember a lot of that job. And I also worked at both of the bottling companies in town. There was Pepsi and Coke. And Pepsi was definitely the dirtier of the two, both in the quality of the people that worked there. One of the guys I worked with was a real seedy kind of guy, and I won't go into all that. And the other place was very above the board, very classy, the Coke place, and clean compared to the other place and all that. I have to say that after I worked those places, I started drinking a lot more Coke, as sodas went. Eventually, the Pepsi place folded, and the Coke did too as far as bottling. They still distribute it there, but they don't bottle it anymore. I think the bottling's then elsewhere. Anyway, I did work there for a while doing a lot of different jobs, you know, from loading bottles onto the bottle cleaning machine, sorting out bottles, you name it. I did all kinds of different ones. So those were probably my first, very, very first jobs, and they were all part-time. The last part-time job I had was working at the radio station as an announcer, the local radio station. And after that, I was at Raytheon 22 years. What was the best job I ever had, and what would be my ideal job? I didn't work a lot of jobs. And so I'd actually, you know, I was at Raytheon 22 years. So I did a lot of different jobs when I was at Raytheon. So really, I would say Raytheon was the best job I ever had. And of all the jobs that I did at Raytheon, the best job that I had there during all the years was a time when I was working as an engineering assistant, where he'd give me projects every day, and I could pretty much go on my own, troubleshoot them, build things. It was different every day, and it was fascinating. And if I got stuck, I'd go to him, he'd unstick me, and then that was it. I'd go back to working on my own. I loved that job. And I felt real valuable. I felt real challenged. That was it. That was probably the peak of my entire job career, of the best job I ever had. Overall, as far as if you just say what company or what place, I'd say Raytheon was the best job I ever had. 22 years of it. Really liked it. It's too bad it went away. It's not to say that I've had other crap, that all the jobs I've had are crap jobs beyond that. But how many jobs I had? I've had the one I'm in now. And this job has actually been a number of different jobs, too. So it's been anything from boring to very interesting as well over the years. And all in between. Jobs you stay in for a long time tend to be that way. You get to wear a lot of hats. My ideal job. Well, honestly, my ideal job would be to not work. Now, don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean I wouldn't be doing work, per se. But you know what makes work work? I think what makes work work is having to do it when you don't want to do it. Right now, as I'm talking to you, I'm working. But I don't feel like it's work. I'm enjoying myself today. And I've been outside for a few hours. And I'm listening to podcasts. I've listened through a couple of your podcasts. And I find it's the perfect combination, is listening to podcasts and working on stuff. I love it. And I really don't feel like I'm working. I'm accomplishing stuff. But it just doesn't feel like work. What feels like work is when you get up in the morning and you don't want to get out of bed at that moment in time, but you have to because you got to go to work. Or, you know, you're at work and you're not really feeling all that well and you just as soon go home and go to sleep. or the work is just incredibly boring, and you'd just rather take a pause and do something else for a while, but you can't because it's the job. It's times like that. However, I do a lot of stuff that's work. You know, all around here, just housework and things like that, but besides that, I do computer consulting, and I have to tell you, when I'm fixing other people's computers, more often than not, it's like play. It's play that I get paid for. You know, and they're all worried that their computer hard drive crashed out and they're not going to get their files back. And to me, it's like a puzzle. It's a unique challenge. And I always get this stuff back and I get it working, you know, and they're always relieved. And I'm good at that. And it's like play. My sister's the same way. She probably has a job like that, too. She's an entertainer, goes out to a club. And she says, yeah, sometimes a job can be work. When you're out at the club, and getting the people to come up and dance or act enthusiastic at all about the music you're playing is like pulling teeth. And on those nights, you just drag through your routine, play your numbers, and go home. You know, pull your equipment down and go home. That's work. On other nights, you go there, and from the second you get there, people are just so glad to see you. They're talking you up. They're helping you with the equipment. You get up on stage. They're just thrilled to listen to music and dance, and you're just the greatest, and it's a party. And it's like being able to go to a party and you get paid for it. She says it more often than not, that's what they get. Such is life. So I think that answers the questions mostly there, you know, that my ideal job would probably be something like consulting. But I think ideally would be not even the consulting, because there are times when with consulting, as with my sister's job, where, you know, it's not fun, and you are kind of, you know, stressed out, but you got to finish it or whatever. I think ideally it would be nice to be able to just pick the jobs you wanted to do and say, you know what, that job doesn't sound like much fun. Find somebody else to do it. And you don't care that you lose a client, you know, because you're basically just working because you want to do the stuff. And you go around and pick and choose your jobs, and the money's kind of unimportant, you know. To be relatively financially independent, and this is just pocket change, you know, it's not needed. Now that would be an ideal job. What do you think?
All right, so that was Scott Mitchell from Scott Podcast, and we have a call coming in. Hello on Skype.
Hello, son.
Hello, Stephen. How are you?
I'm pretty fine, actually. I'm just thawing out a little bit.
Ah, so it's chilly there in Sweden at the moment?
It's been like a snowstorm, and I had to carry my bike. The gears and the chain have frozen.
Oh dear.
Yeah, but I actually had one of your podcasts on my MP3 player.
Oh, fantastic. Which one?
It was the one on, it's your podcast, well, your podcast thing, the sci-fi one about, you know, the one about from Spring, where you talk about the Deep Space Nine.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. So did you have any thoughts on that?
I did actually, right?
All right.
I was urged to talk about it. I have a number of things I'd like to bring up, right? And it made me think of it. They're kind of interrelated. I think people don't like Deep Space Nine as much because it's a little bit sleazy.
Sleazy?
Yeah.
How do you mean?
It's kind of rough around the edges. Okay. You have Quark, who has like... he has like a hologram brothel, doesn't he?
Well, yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of it's rough around the edges, so to speak. It isn't, and if you look at the characters in The Next Generation, everyone seems to be rather nicer than nice, and I find it slightly anodyne in some ways.
Yes, I was just going to mention that. And incidentally, I want to put this into context here for the people who have not heard the show. He's talking about the reposting of Tom Harris USA episode number 9, which I just reposted over on TomHarrisUSA.com. I talk a little bit about the various iterations of Star Trek on there, and this is... discussion is kind of following off of that. Anyway, so, yeah, but you know what? I tell you, Stephen, that the grittier world of Deep Space Nine is one of the things that I like about the series.
Yeah, it replenishes itself really. It changes all the time, and it's like you said, if you don't watch it continuously, and I haven't, I kind of lost track because I moved at a certain point. It isn't possible to hop in and watch the fourth series. It almost is like a soap opera in a way. You really have to sort of follow it. You know, the stuff about I don't know what happens towards the end. But the grittiness, and there is a feeling that the at times that the characters actually can be done away with, mm-hmm. in a way, if you know what I mean.
Nobody is safe on the show.
No. I like the kind of sci-fi series. It isn't a TV series, of course. I like the sinister side. I think that I like the first Dune book.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The kind of you know, semantics, the riverboat. Nobody is really there aren't really any black hats and white hats, so to speak.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a lot of ambiguity in the world of Dune, and you find that more so in Deep Space Nine than you do in the other Star Trek series.
It's true. It has more dimensions, right. And I thought it was interesting. It's interesting that you asked about the new film, mm-hmm. because I've watched it, mm-hmm. but I didn't really appreciate it because people were talking the whole time through.
Oh, jeez.
Talking about just talking about Star Trek fans, how they're going to cream themselves at this certain scene.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to point out something about these people, mm-hmm. that don't shut up during films.
Oh, I hate that too.
What should we do with them?
Well, it depends. You know, here in the States, if somebody is making a lot of noise during the film, you actually can go get an usher and have them removed.
No, they had no excuse. Well, it was in a living room. It wasn't in a movie theater.
Well, you could actually turn to them and say, "Shut up."
Yeah, they wouldn't have. This person wouldn't have understood. But it's terrible. Yeah. So I'm going to have to watch it again.
Yeah.
I think it showed promise. Though I remember being a little bit irritated by Spock's reaction.
Right, yeah.
It's a little too emotional, I found. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that was the point that they're making, is that this character has a dual nature, and he doesn't act in the way that other Vulcans do.
Yes, yeah. I went home, and I was convinced that, the Vulcans have no emotions or little emotions. And I went straight home and I researched it, and I found out that it was entirely right. He's half human Vulcan, and they can have they can throw a fit from time to time.
Well, they throw a fit every 7 years when it's time to mate.
Oh yeah, and I that's the thing. I said that. I mentioned this when we were watching it. And nobody believed me. They thought, that in Star Trek they wouldn't have something like that. They swim upstream to mates.
That goes back to the original series too. I think it was the opening episode of the second season where they had the show all about that.
Yeah, I've been watching Futurama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've just gotten into it, and I had to point out a certain scene where the what's his name, the main character, where he was trapped in this machine where he can only answer with the blinking lights and buzzer. Mm-hmm. And I knew the person next to me didn't know about Star Trek, and I had to point out that, well, this is the first... I suddenly remembered it from, like, 18 years ago, that the first, during the pilot, this character got seduced on a planet, and then he Captain Pike, and...
Well, that was, the Futurama show, there's so many... throwaway references to other science fiction and TV shows, and a lot of Star Trek references in there too.
It's Star Trek. It's illegal to talk about Star Trek in the Futurama world.
Yeah. I think that's a great touch.
I can't speak highly enough about that series, but I used to avoid it. I didn't think it looked that good.
Right. Yeah, Star Trek is one of those things that either you get it or you don't.
No, I mean Futurama.
Well, Futurama is probably, I think, the same way. I mean, and it was on in the series for a few years in this country for a few years, and then it got canceled. And then it got brought back, and then it got cancelled, and now it's back again.
Oh, right, it got cancelled. I'm surprised. Yeah. I know it's got. When it came back, it was bought by another TV station,
right?
And it's a lot. And I'm going back into this again. It's a lot more risque, I find. Mm. Since then,
yeah, I haven't seen any. I've seen very few Futurama. Be honest, I've seen a lot of the first season, the very very first season.
Oh, that's surprisingly good. It just gets better and better with every series. The when they had some of the watershed rules taken away from it, it got extremely funny, and the sci-fi references are sometimes one would have to really know to see them, and it's. It's good. The animation is also gets better. Mm-hmm. It's everything the Simpsons used to be, but isn't anymore. Right. So.
Fagash Lil says that she doesn't see how Deep Space Nine is any more sleazy than the original, seeing as Captain Kirk was up to all sorts.
She's got to watch it more carefully, I think.
Well, Captain Kirk in the original series was always...
Did he ever expose his nipples during a fight?
I think he did, yeah.
Oh, right. I wasn't sure because of the girdle thing.
I seem to remember some shirtless scenes.
Ah, I see.
The girdle, I think, was in the later ones.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right. So, you're on. You're still on Sunday, aren't you?
No. Tuesday. Every Tuesday at 9 o'clock UK time. That would be 3 o'clock Eastern Standard, I believe.
What time is it at UK?
At 9 p.m.
9 p.m. So that would be. That would be 3 o'clock my time.
Yep.
So it would be 4 o'clock on the Eastern Standard Time.
It's something I'm going to do on my show in the near future. Mm-hmm. A lot more sci-fi stuff.
Oh, great.
And I'm going to review video games from the 80s and early 90s.
I heard you talking about that on your show last week.
Yeah.
So that'll be excellent. So anyway, I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, good.
And I don't listen live, but I do listen in podcasts.
No, that's good. It's the future, yep. Podcasting.
Yep. All right. I mean, well, thanks very much, Stephen, for calling.
You say bye, son.
Yeah, see you later. Bye. And that was Stephen Parker, who is on Tuesdays from 9 to 10 p.m. UK time. And we're going to go now on the Skype over to another one of our regular callers. Here, we'll see if she'll actually pick up the phone. And it's ringing. Sorry.
Good afternoon, morning, Mr. Harris.
Hello to Fagash Lil. How are you?
Hello. I'm a few minutes behind because I just heard was Captain Kirk, did he ever expose his nipples? And I was going to say, he exposed some tribbles. Does that work?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think, you know, as I was saying to Stephen, he exposed his, he had some shirtless scenes in the series.
Yes. Oh, Kirk was a bad guy. He was up to all sorts of things.
I'm trying to think half the galaxy, you know, is descended from Captain Kirk.
Oh, of course. I mean, look at some of the descendants on these planets these days.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And of course, in addition to, you know, Captain Kirk, the character, the Star Trek has spawned so many imitators and things over the years that you can all tie it back to William Shatner.
Of course. Yeah. So he's the father or the godfather or the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-godfather or whatever of all sci-fi.
So how are you? How has your week been?
Cold, thank you very much. Yes.
The weather in Brighton, Hove, the posh part of Brighton.
Yeah, so too posh to snow most of the year, unfortunately.
It hasn't snowed.
We need snow because it might warm the temperature a little bit. You know when you get the cloud cover?
Oh, yeah.
And it warms it up a little bit?
Uh-huh.
People always used to look at me like I'm stupid. But, is it going to snow tonight? No, it's not. It's too cold for snow.
Uh-huh.
No. It's really, seriously, it's just going to freeze instead. Mm. We've had that.
Yeah. We haven't had any snow yet, but we've also had clear days. So exactly what you're talking about.
But you just had trying to poison yourself and get yourself being all sad and pathetic and people to take you away for Thanksgiving next time. does my microphone sound really dodgy here?
No, you're fine.
Okay, thanks.
It's fine. But have you ever been sprayed by toxic chemicals on a holiday?
I ever been sprayed with chemicals? Yeah. No. Yeah. No. I personally wouldn't. I'm just trying to learn how to bleed a radiator.
Okay.
And all I've been told is turn the boiler off before you do it.
Right.
Right. Fine. Because the radiators are not working very well, and it's
they probably
so I keep away from chemicals.
Right. So have you figured out how to do that to bleed the radiators and all that?
Yeah, I know where the key is. I knew roughly what to do, but I didn't know how to turn the boiler off before I did it.
Gotcha. Well, that can be a problem.
You learn something new every day.
I'm sorry.
I said you learn something new every day.
Yeah, that's true. Now, I live in a building that we have radiators in my building because it's an older building. Mm-hmm. And they're the old cast iron radiators, you know, the great big ones. And
The fantastic ones.
Yeah. They keep this place nice and warm in the winter, I tell you. But they do have to go in and bleed out the radiators. And I think they do it during the spring, you know, after the colder weather is behind us. And then then they turn them off and they don't come on again until the late autumn. So
you're implying there that modern day Americans do not have radiators in their homes?
Well, it depends, you know, because I live in an older building and we have radiators here. But if you have a brand new house, you're more likely to have central heating than radiators.
So what's the difference between a central heating and a radiator?
Well,
in this country, we call central heating radiators.
Ah, okay. Well, that's because you didn't get central heating until the 1970s.
We had it in the 1500s or the 1700s. The Romans had it. Yeah. Shut up. We just forgot how to do it.
We actually have what we call central heating in this country would be heating and cooling in one unit. So you would have air conditioning and heating in the same.
So where does the heat come from then? Is it underfloor heating or the walls heating?
It would come from the wall. It would be even the house I lived in when I was a kid, the house I grew up in, they had a incinerator and a oil burning. They had an oil burning furnace that did all the heating, and it would actually, you know, create a lot of heat down inside the furnace, and it would go up through the ducts into the walls and then come out these gratings in the walls. But that's not a radiator. That's actually direct central heating.
Yeah, but a lot of the houses there are made of wood, aren't they? So that's why
that's true, yeah.
It kind of works, and it probably doesn't work so well here.
With stone I lived in a building that was built, I think, in the 1920s or 1930s, and we have
you were about 42 at the time, weren't you, when that was built?
Yeah. It's a daub and waddle inside the walls. The difference is that central heating, as we think of it, is air forced heating. You have a fan that forces the hot air through the walls, and it comes out of a hole in the wall. In the radiator system, it's actually water boiling in a boiler down.
Yeah,
in the basement,
so it runs through the pipes, and therefore transmitted to the utensils that are stuck on the wall somewhere.
Exactly, yep. And you have the radiators are actually full of boiling water.
Mm-hmm. But they're all mine are full of freezing water at the moment.
Right. That's not good, is it?
Yeah, well, most of them are.
Yeah.
And I'm just keeping a check on the time, Tom, yep. So I think you might want to say goodbye to me and say goodbye to everybody else.
So I was just going to mention that. It's time to go. Thank you very much for calling, Will. Or I called you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for the show. Bye.
And that was Fagesh Will there. And it is time to go, as she mentioned. This is Tom in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, signing off. We hope you tune in next week. I'll be here at 4 p.m. next Saturday here on United Kingdom Radio. Stay tuned for Sean Riches coming up next.